Before we get started, are you looking to upgrade your mower? Are you needing a new snowblower for the upcoming wrestling season? If you are, go no further than Raider Outdoor Power. Located at 2580 Rockdale Road, the good folks at Raiders will make sure you are set up for this season to get your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course or to get that snow off your driveway so you can get on with your day. Stop out at Raiders today and they'll make sure you are set and ready to go. Whether you're looking to restore rusty old metal parts to like-new conditions or protect brand-new components with durable, attractive, long-lasting finishes, Lane's Custom Steel, located in Benton, Wisconsin, can help with metal finishings and metal coatings, offering a full range of custom metal restoration using powder coating for individual and business needs. Their powder coating techniques will perform everything from automotive parts to outdoor furniture to everyday household fixtures. Email Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's L-A-N-E-Z Custom Steel at gmail.com. Let's get this podcast started. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are here at the Wormhole. This is the official name of the podcast studio as of yesterday. In the Rick Healy episode, we were tossing around names to call this place, and Michelle Healy came up to me at homecoming and said, it has to be the Wormhole. So the official name of the podcast studio is the Wormhole, but that's not important. Today, what is important is we have Cascade's new head coach, Zach Thompson. Zach is entering his first year coaching at Cascade. Prior to coming to Cascade, he was a two-time All-American at Loras and the University of Wisconsin-Platteville. He was a four-time placer from Perry, Iowa. Zach, brother, what's going on, man?
What's up, Worm? Thanks for having me. And, hey, I like the Wormhole name. I think it goes perfect.
So, oh, yeah.
You should keep that for sure.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. Like, more and more I'm thinking about it. Like, just even tonight, like, I was grabbing some bottles of water that aren't really cold, and I was like, I need to put a fridge downstairs. Kind of like, well, you can take my wine fridge that's upstairs and put it down here and you put water bottles in. I was like, okay, that works.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Yeah. So, all right, before we get started, you know, I think it'd be a good way for the people around the area who don't know you to get a little taste of who you are, especially now taking over a program that has had a family lineage of 20 years, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about your starts in wrestling. When did you start wrestling?
Yeah, so I started wrestling in, like, second grade, and, you know, I was pushed into it kind of by my PE teacher. So my brother wrestled, but there was, like, this kid in my class, or, like, in my grade, and he was kind of a bully. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to watch my brother wrestle, and I saw that kid in my class, like, put a guy in a headlock and pin him, and I was like, no. I want none of that. But my PE teacher, her son, was like a two-time state champ from Perry, and she ended up talking me into it. So I started in like second grade. Around high school is when, you know, you start to take things serious. And so, like, I played other sports, but they were for wrestling.
Yeah. And Perry's not a big town, is it? Like, how big's Perry?
Population of 7,000.
Oh, okay.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so you're still in that school where it's like you have enough kids to probably focus on one sport, but I would say in small town Iowa, even 7,000 is a small town, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, you know, the want to play multiple sports is always still there. Like, it's not like you're at like a Mount Carmel or even like a Southeast Polk where it's like, no, I can just focus on one sport. You kind of want to play everything.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, all your friends play multiple sports, and this isn't talked about much, but there's such a social aspect of sports, and it's 100%. Like, I want to play football because all my friends are, and I want to hang out with them, or cross country, or, you know, whatever else, so.
Yeah, and that was me in football. I was not good at football. I just always went out, and my senior year, I was like, no, I'm not going to. I wanted to focus on wrestling, and thank God, one of my best friends, Calvin Ray, called me up the night before, like, camp was supposed to start. He's like, dude, come on, play with us. Like, it's, you know, your senior year. Like, let's have some fun. And we talk about it all the time where it's just like, yeah, we were garbage for the most part. But, like, man, we still had a lot of fun. And, like, you know, you still have those guys that you're still tight with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't think that would have been the case if I would have quit.
you know, my senior year, and then I probably would look back on it and been like, man, I wish I would have, you know. But I'm glad that you made that point. I mean, I'm one of those people that I believe that you should at least play two sports, at least one, to kind of counteract wrestling, just to give your brain a little bit of a break and your body a little bit of a break, just to do something else and to be social and do those things. So, you were coming out of high school, you came to Loras. Your former head coach at Perry, Trevor Kittleson, was an assistant coach at Loras. Mm-hmm. So that was that a pretty easy decision to come to Loras right away? Or, 2021, obviously we're still in the COVID pandemic. The NCAA decides to not have the national tournament. They have the NWCA, the National Wrestling Coach Association, or Collegiate Association. Well, it's the NWCA. They decide to host a national tournament, but there's no qualifiers. Everyone just brings their whole team down. So you show up to the national tournament, and in the quarters, you bump off the 4 seed to make the semis against Robbie Pearson. Let's talk about that tournament. How was that tournament, besides getting swabbed every 30 seconds?
I mean, that tournament was fun. It was what really, like, put me on the scene as far as my college career goes. I think an important thing to note about that season is early on in October of that season, I tore my meniscus. And it was one of those tears where, like, your knee locks out and you can't put any weight on it. So I had to get surgery. And I remember having to make a decision. It was like I could get my surgery after January 1st, and that would cost my parents, because I'm not paying for it, it would cost my parents more money, or I could get it done before, and that would cost more money. So, or less money after January, more money before. So I ended up deciding to get it done before. So at that point, I was like, I'm ready to do something this year. I get done. I'm fresh off surgery in December, and I lose a wrestle off. So I was a backup that year, and I got my opportunity like late in February. I beat like a top 10 kid from Central, and I go into that tournament and I'm like, I'm the 12 seed. Like, I always felt so wrong by the 12 seed. And, it was just a fun tournament, and I wrestled well. And, you know, when I think back to it, the only thing that comes to mind is, man, I should have got better than fifth. But fifth's where I ended. And, you know, as far as putting me on the scene, that really served me in the next season. So,
yeah. And then a couple months later, Kit gets the opportunity to become the head coach of Wisconsin Platteville. Mm-hmm. You decide to go with him. And I know you well enough, I think, that it had no, I think if I, I'm, I don't mean to be speaking out of cuff here, it had nothing to do with Laura. It's just more the fact of I was going with my coach.
Yeah. I loved my time at Loras. I think back to a speech that TJ gave, before practice. He would give this speech a lot. Actually, he would say, like, look around, like, these guys around you, these guys are going to be in your wedding. And so, yeah, I transferred to Platteville, and then I got married the next year. But if you look at who was in my wedding, all right, my best man, my brother, right? Next, Zeke Smith gave a speech at my wedding. Tad, Matt Conley, DVT, Mason McMillan, like, these guys are all wrestlers at Loras. And so when I look back at my Loras years, it's like, man, that gave me so much. It gave me my best friends. It gave me confidence. So I have nothing bad to say, like, about Loras. I want to go to the homecoming next year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I missed out this year. So, no. It was all just, like, I trust Kit. I trust what he has for me. I'm going to go and do that at Platteville.
Oh, for sure. And I think it panned out for you, because that year you qualify for the NCAA tournament, take 7th, All-American, you know, and, you know, you got... before the podcast started, you were just telling me that you blew your ACL out right before the NCAA, or right before regionals, Or no, no,
no, it was the second round. It was like the, I had a prelim match and then like the first round on the front side.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So yeah. So you had to wrestle that tournament with a blown out ACL and you just said you didn't even know that you did it.
It was like day two. I was like, I'm not going to wrestle. But then, like, once you start moving it a little more, it's like, okay, this doesn't feel too bad. So it wasn't horrible.
Yeah, and I think that the national tournament, too, it's like, nah, I'm here. Like, yeah. I'm here. I'm going to go out on my damn shield. Like, if it means that they're going to have to carry me off the mat, 100%, I'm going to get carried off the mat. We're at the national tournament. Like, we're not at the Whitewater Open.
Yeah,
We're at the national tournament. So, you know, moving into, you know, you finished up at Platteville. You know, we're going to grab a quick break here for some ads. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, this new role that you have at Cascade. So we'll be right back here after hearing some sponsors.
There's a reason powder coating has such a great reputation for strength, durability, and beauty. It can transform metal surfaces into long-lasting finishes able to withstand heavy use and harsh environmental conditions. At Lane's Custom Steel, we've been offering custom powder coating solutions to provide businesses and individuals since 2019. Their skilled team of professionals are dedicated to providing you with high-quality finishes that will last many years. Contact Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's L-A-N-E-Z Custom Steel at gmail.com. Now back to the podcast.
And we're back. Just sitting down here with Zach Thompson, the new head coach at Cascade. That is something weird to hear, man. Like, it's kind of, for me personally, because, you know, I'm from Cascade, and anyone that knows Cascade knows that for the last 35 years, the coach's name has been Andrews, whether it was Dale Andrews or Travis Andrews. And I was blessed that I had Dale and Travis my entire wrestling career, from the time I was in fifth or sixth grade to, you know, when I graduated high school.
And as coaches?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dale was the head coach when I was in high school. Travis became an assistant my freshman year, or eighth grade year, freshman year. But by about junior year, Travis was basically running the show practice-wise. Mm-hmm. Dale did a lot of the paperwork, like, you know, did a lot of the, you know, the grunt work of it, and Travis ran practices. So I was nothing but Andrews, and if anyone that knows me outside of here knows, like, the Andrews family is my family. Like, they are, like, Dale is, like, a second dad to me. Like,
yeah.
I've learned so much stuff from both those guys. And Travis is one of my best friends nowadays. Both Timmy and Tommy, his brothers, are really good buddies of mine, too. So, taking over this program, you know, I know that you were kind of headhunted out by Mark Schultz. Because they needed a new head coach and they all thought that you were perfect for it. How did that all come together?
Yeah, so it actually started with Kit. After the season last year, I went over to his house. We were in the sauna and I was like, hey man, you know, if like all this stuff wouldn't have gone down, I'd be coaching at Platteville next year. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, hey, head coaching position just opened up at Cascade. He's like, I think that'd be like a really good thing for you. I think you'd fit in right there. It'd be a good way to transition from like being an athlete to being a coach. And I gave him like a little like, yeah, man, that would be awesome. However, you know, so he's like, look, I'll talk to Travis. I'll talk to Schultz and, you know, we can see about getting this set up. At least you can like submit your application. So literally, after that week, he's going to call me like all the time.
Talk to you for an hour straight.
Yep. Like, so I've been receiving, you know, calls from Mark ever since that interaction, and Kit's been on me, but I still wasn't like totally set on it. Cause when I think about running a program, at first I was like, that's a little overwhelming. Uh-huh. And I don't know, like, I want to graduate college first. So that's where my mind was. And then, you know, over the summer, I thought about it and I was thinking about the impact that Coach Kittleson had on me And that kind of hit. I was like, man, if I can have 1%, because Coach Kittleson, like, changed the trajectory of my life. And that's powerful, you know? So I was like, man, if I could have that impact on even one kid, like, that would be awesome. So eventually I came around to it and I applied and then I interviewed for it and I got it and I was like, all right, let's go. So that's kind of how that unfolded.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you just said, it's very overwhelming because, you know, most kids your age coming fresh out of college, a lot of times you're starting as an assistant or even if you're a head coach, like a head of a middle school program,
yep.
You know, something real small to kind of get you, kind of get your feet wet. But it sounds like, you know, you're kind of taking it by baptism by fire. You're just going to take over a program. And the thing about Cascade's program is, like, you know, like we just said, a guy like Mark Schultz in the community is doing so many great things with the kids program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I think you guys have a little hotbed of talent that you're going to be able to work with throughout the years, you know, and then you got, you know, you had some returning starters, like a kid like Brock Morris, who took fourth as a freshman.
Third.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He took fourth as a freshman.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he took third.
Yeah, he took fourth as a freshman. And then last year, you know, it didn't really go his way, but, you know, you got a kid that's, you know, a stud right in your barn. You know, I think, you know, have you been around? I know, like I said, you just took this job about 6 weeks ago. You know, have you been around the program much already, or?
I have been around it, like, a little bit, but not enough to, like, really get to know the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to know them so I can get to a point where I can meet them where they're at and, like, give them what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the issue. That's not the issue, but that's the, like, struggle with coming in as a first year. It's like, I'm going to have to set up new systems and things like that. And I don't even know these guys. So, like, what are our goals going to be? Mm-hmm. I'm just going off track wrestling of, you know, how did they do last year? And then it's, like, trying to fill in the gaps with different stories. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges right now. But there's a lot of studs on the team. You know, you look at the district results from last year. I think three guys got third. So they sent no qualifiers, but three guys got third. That's not including Brock Morris. Bryce Carroll is a freshman coming in this year. So it's like, man, I think at the very least we can get three. But I don't know. I haven't been around the team. I don't know, you know. I'm still trying to adjust to the culture of Cascade. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about some of the kids that you just talked about is like, like a Bryce Carroll, especially comes off top of my head. The kid eats, sleeps, and breathes wrestling.
Yep.
You know, he'll talk to me at practice about a video that he saw, or like, you can tell, like, you know, his mind is so glued into wrestling because, you know, the culture has kind of changed, I think, in Cascade for the most part. Because a couple years ago, you know, they had a 3-time state champ in Aiden Noonan.
Yep.
Had Nolan Noonan was a couple-time placer. You know, prior to that, you know, there was a pretty big dry streak of not having placers. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had three guys in 4 years placed in the top five. All of a sudden, top six. And all of a sudden, like, now people are starting to get more excited about it, you know, and you know, last winter, my buddy Calvin called me up and he was like, dude, I'm telling you right now, you know, I'm talking to more and more people in town and they're saying that their kids are in wrestling right now that I've never have heard of. Like, I've never heard this many kids out. So I think you guys are going to have a really good feeder program. Like I said, especially with a guy like Mark, who everyone that's listening to this podcast knows who Mark is.
Yeah.
You know, they know how passionate he is about the sport, how much he cares about the kids. You know, he's gonna have kids, I think, really good basics coming in as freshmen.
Yeah.
And but so moving forward though, you know, your guys' upcoming season schedule. I know, like, beginning of, like, the first tournament of the year, you guys host the Cascade Duels.
Yep.
Which is a Friday night duel, series, which at first, like when I was coaching, because back then, like I think Wallert's there, Clayton Ridge is there, MFL Mar Max there, Washington, you guys, I'm missing a couple of, but like those type of names. And, you know, I used to never understand the Friday night stuff. But I kind of like it at the beginning of the year, especially, like, around here. Like, I always made the joke that, like, kids want to use deer hunting as an excuse because, like, opening weekend of first season shotgun, it's like, no, you're going to wrestle Friday night, and then you have, then you'll have Saturday to do whatever you want. So that'll be a good tournament for you guys, I think. And then, you know, you guys usually go down to the Mount Vernon tournament right before Christmas, and that's always a really tough tournament. You know, I think, you know, you get to see a lot of teams that come up from like southern or southeast Iowa, like Meepo and Lisbon's down there, okay. Mount Vernon's down there. So you get to see some decent crops there. So, you know, have you really, I mean, again, like you're still learning the schedule. So I feel like I'm doing more talking here. I apologize.
No, you're good. I, that's one of the, that's another struggle is I'm on the phone about, you know, do we want to go to this tournament? Do we not want to go to this tournament? I look up the tournament from last year, and I'm like, I don't know any of these teams. Like, is this a tough tournament? Is this not a tough tournament? So my, you know, with the schedule, I wanted to, you know, like I put one in there, or I told the new athletic director, Carrie Veal, I want one on December 21st. And it's like, I want them to make weight right before Christmas.
Okay.
And then, you know, because it's like some guys struggle with weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they make weight right before Christmas, then, you know, it's a shorter break between when we're back on the mat in practice. And that's really what, you know, you can put some weight on during the break. And even if they do, it's like, well, they made weight on the 21st. And I know as an athlete, I would have hated that. But I think it'll, I think it's a good thing for them. And so that's really like my knowledge as far as like what I'm doing with the schedule until I coach a little bit more with the team and familiarize myself with opponents. Yeah, that's as far as I can really.
Now, have you guys figured out who you guys are wrestling on the 21st or?
No, I mean, it's supposed to be a tri-duel. I forget between who. So, no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and you're, this, I mean, like we're saying before, man, like, you're learning as you go.
Mm-hmm.
What philosophies do you really want to bring into this program?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is what I've been, you know, I could have been spending the last 3 months trying to, like, put together practices or do this, but I've been really thinking about, like, so, I kind of got pushed into this. Ultimately, it was my decision, but it was like, here, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. So the first thing I did was really sit down and I was like, but what made me want to do this? Like, why did I want to be a coach? And I wrote it down. It was like, I want to help these guys become like men of empathy and integrity who are like willing to lead and actually make a difference in whatever they choose to do. And so that's a whole different approach as opposed to like, yeah, you know, I took this job, so, you know, I can help Brock Morris win a state championship or Bryce Carroll or Calvin or Ty Frazier or whoever. So my philosophy, you know, after looking back is like totally athlete-centered as far as like we need to establish our core values. We need to establish, you know, why we want to be here and what things we're going to uphold. And then, you know, we can take that into maybe like some expectations, and we can take those things into the goals we set for the season. So you don't always have to set like, oh, by the end of the season, I want to be a state champ. Like, cool. So does everybody else. You know, it can be like, we want to clean the locker room every day because, you know, we take initiative on that and we get it done and we sweep the sheds and whatever. So that's kind of my philosophy. I mean, the how I'm going to run practice is, you know, however I run practice. But that's kind of where I'm coming at is like, why do I want to do this? And, you know, where do I hope to see my athletes after they've encountered, you know, me?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's like, you know, that's like the greatest metaphors on life. You know, wrestling teaches you some of those core values, and, you know, back to, you know, my family or my ties with the Andrews family, I'll say to this day, and I've said it to Dale multiple times, that Dale never taught me a single leg, never taught me a double leg, barely ever taught me. He taught me how to run a really mean half. But the things that I got out of Cascade Wrestling, more importantly through Dale Andrews, was how you treat people, how you handle yourself.
Yeah.
How you handle, like, are you the kid that when you walk into a gym, are people looking at you going, what kind of trouble is he going to bring? Or that's a good kid.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, you know, at Cascade, like those core values of things that were, that he taught us. I mean, Cripes, I'm 35 years old, and if he sees me wearing my hat on backwards, mm-hmm. he'll harp at me about it. So like, it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, I think I really dig your philosophy on this, on how like, You're essentially learning as you go, as well as these guys. But you are right now, you're pouring a foundation of what is wrestling is going to come. Like wrestling is going to, like you guys are going to wrestle at practice, but it's going to, we got to also build the things that are going outside of the practice room. That's going to make this program better.
Yeah. I'm coaching people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coaching those people wrestling, but like I need, you know, that's why I want to learn about them, is like, okay, what motivates this guy? You know, what, like, how does he respond to, you know, different things? And so, you know, we can go into like the systems that I've already kind of set up to learn those things about the athletes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're coaching people. And I think that's something that Coach Kittleson did without even verbalizing it to me, is like, I'm coaching Zach Thompson, and then I'm coaching, you know, these other 40 guys individually, but like I need to kind of know them before I coach them. Mm. So that's my approach. And that's what it's going to be this season.
That's awesome, man. Cause like, you know, I think you have to do those things. Cause you know, every, like you said just before, it's like, oh, the goal is to stay tough. Yeah, so is you and everyone else.
Yep.
And it's even from a coaching standpoint too. It's like, yeah, you could come in here right now and be like, oh, we want to win the RBC.
Yeah.
Or we want to, you know, make the state duels. We want to do all these things. We got a lot of stuff to take care of first before we get there. That stuff will all come in time if done right.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's not like goal setting is something that I'm in the process of, you know, trying to conceptualize in my brain. And there's different goals. We can say, oh, we want to win the conference tournament, but it's like, really? You got like, we last year Cascade got like eighth or ninth. It's like Wilton is the team. How about we shoot for top five? You know, the structures of goals, if you look at have you heard of SMART goals? Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. That's like the system for setting goals. So it's like, is it attainable to beat Wilton this year? Probably not. What about like in the whole grand scheme of your vision for the program itself, maybe like, you know, 10 years down the road, we're competing with Wilton and Don Bosco in Lisbon. But right now where we're at, like that's not a relevant goal that they're gonna like want to get behind.
Let's focus on Comanche. Let's focus on you know, Monticello, and like focus on
exactly.
Like, you know, yeah, and that all, you know, all come with it. You know, and I think you guys have a really good community behind you guys now that really wants to see wrestling do something big in Cascade. So I think that's very exciting for you.
Yeah, and before, like, that's not on the guys who are out right now. That's the fact that, like, there's 15 guys. If we look at where we want to be at a place where we have 25, 30 guys out. We want to fill a roster and maybe even fill a JV roster so we have guys competing in the room. And then we talk about, like, you know, competing with Wilton, because that's the top dog in the conference, and not just, like, letting them score 200 and whatever points at the conference tournament and being like, no, we're right here with you. Mm-hmm. But that's not like, that's not a this year vision type thing. That's within the scope of the vision for the program, but it is not this year. So
for sure, man. Well, dude, we're going to wrap some things up here. I'm super excited for you. I'm super excited that, you know, you're, you know, you get a really good chance to build something and, you know, put your stamp on a time in Cascade and, you know, and see where you go from there. What's your staff look like?
Yeah, so we'll talk about, so Travis is obviously, he's still at the school. He's going to be maybe like a silent encouragement and maybe some behind the scenes stuff. And then Alex Ressler, I've yet to reach out to him to see what his role is, but I imagine he'll have a role because I know that he cares about Cascade. So he's another guy. And then we're looking at getting Tad Griffith signed on as the assistant head coach. And when I went looking out for an assistant head coach, it was like, all right, who believes in kind of who aligns with what I'm trying to like believe in and get these guys behind? And Tad's, I mean, he's one of my better friends, so I know that he's going to be great. And so he still needs to do his certification and all the stuff to get there, but I'm fairly confident that he'll be my assistant coach this year. So that's kind of who's on staff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, you guys, there's, once you get to know the town, you know that there's, like, a well of guys that are willing to help out in different aspects of
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, dude, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Of course. I appreciate this. Wrapping things up, I ask every person I interview, favorite shoes you wrestled in.
Okay. Well, can there be more than one?
Yeah.
Here.
You're looking over here. I got freaking 12 pairs of shoes. Oh, yeah. You can have more than one.
Okay. My last 2 years of college, I wrestled in Matt Flexes, and that was kind of like, I want to be this like Thomas Gilman type guy, you know, like I want to like approach my matches like that. But my absolute favorite pair, I had a pair of like the Dave Schultz classic A6 shoes, and I loved those. I beat the crap out of them. I wish I still had them. I mean, I do still have them, but they're like
taped up.
Horrible. So, and those have like the international, you know what I'm, do you know what shoes I'm talking about?
Yeah, I used to have a pair. Yeah, they're like what, like the, they're a lot like the Japan
A6
now. Yep. So like all the foreign guys rock those
shoes. So, they're so sick. So those were by far, and they were the color of my high school, like I wore them in high school and they were so cool. So those are my favorite probably. But right. I like the mindset behind the Matt Flexes also.
Oh yeah, it's, you know, it's just meat and potatoes. You don't need And I remember when Gilman started rocking those too. I was like, you go to a college where you can get any shoes you want, and you're rocking the $30 Matt Flexes. Then I wore a pair of them. I was like, oh, okay, I get
right?
it. I get it. Yeah, like, you know, and obviously, like, if you look over there in my collection, it's like there's a lot of money I put into it, but at the same time too, it's like.
Yeah, those are all cool.
Yeah, but right? It's like, no, but it's like, same time, it's like, those never made anyone a better wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
But I always said I needed all those shoes just for variety and like make my like during like coaching time, it would be like pack up the same bag every day.
Yeah,
and after a while it gets old. But if I switch out a pair of shoes today, all of a sudden, hey, it's a new day, it's a fresh day.
Yeah,
so, you know, you can go
yeah, I like
there.
That. I like that
for sure, man. So. All right, we're going to wrap some things up here. Zach, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for being on. We'll be right back. Awesome. Great interview with Zach Thompson. Very excited for him and Cascade. As you could tell on the podcast, I was very excited about the future of Cascade, being a former Cougar myself and just being a proud alumni of Cascade Wrestling, and everything that Cascade Wrestling did for me was I feel like you could feel that in my emotion was sitting down talking to Zach. I'm very excited for him. I think he is a young coach with a fresh perspective that a lot of kids will, you know, embrace. I think these young coaches now, especially in Dubuque area, a lot of these coaches are seeing what college teams are doing. Some of these guys are just graduating college, so, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're not – they're going off of what they did in college for the most part. And lately, if you've noticed, like, college trends, like, there's a lot of peaks and valleys of training phases where, you know, they're not going hard all the time. It's, you know – peak at the right times, you know, and I really, really liked his mentality of, you know, doing the right things on and off the mats. I think that's a huge standard. And I think, you know, especially in Cascade, where, like I said in the podcast, I was raised, you know, besides my parents, who are phenomenal parents, I was raised by Dale Andrews in those aspects of, you know, how to treat people, how to respect yourself, how to carry yourself, how do you conduct yourself. I think Zach has a really good idea and a good vision of how he wants to see his wrestlers doing that moving forward. So be on the lookout for them. This Monday night, Dubuque Hempstead is hosting their burger night at the Eagles Club right behind Planet Fitness in the mall. RSVP that on Facebook if you guys plan on going. It's a good way to support wrestling. Like I said in previous podcasts, you know, get a burger, some fries, or some onion rings, or some chicken strips, whatever. Just go get a meal in, support Dubuque Hempstead Wrestling. The West Dubuque Takedown Fundraiser, that's going to be in on the 17th on a Friday night in November. Excited about that one, too. That's $15. That starts at 6, I believe, 6 or 7. And that includes, food and drink and entertainment for that $15. So that's a great fundraiser there. If you've noticed, this week I did a couple of awards. I will be covering those a little bit more in depth as we go forward. This week, Boone McDermott takedown of the week by Raider Outdoor Power. It looked like a dog with a big lift takedown. JoJo Lewis got the Leonard Funeral Home Burial 5-point throw of the week. Odessa Leibfried from Ellsworth, she got Big Game Wrestling Club feet to back for women's throws award. Then wrestlers of the week, Aiden Noonan bumps off the number two ranked junior college 149 pounder from Western Wyoming. And then Lanny Dugan took second this weekend at the Luther Hills Open down at Simpson. That was a big tournament. She rallied off like four or five wins, one loss to get to the finals. And then this weekend down at Carver, Lindenwood will be wrestling Iowa. So if you guys want to go down and support Lanny or just go watch Iowa wrestle in their first home dual meet, get down to Carver. I think there's still plenty of tickets down there for that. So next week, we got, last but not least, Waller Catholic's Joel Allen. Had a really fun conversation with him. You know, for many of you guys that know, him and I were coaches together for about 7 or 8 seasons. And really, we had a lot of fun having that conversation. I think a lot of people will enjoy his perspective on a lot of things, how he operates things, both in the wrestling room and then in his home as well, because we talk about his family's trek across the world this summer, if you will. So thanks again for listening. We will be back next Wednesday. As always, I'm Worm. I got my one. I'm out. Before we go, I just want to thank our sponsors one more time. Big thanks to Raider Outdoor Power. Thank you guys for all the support. Thank you, Lane's Custom Steel in Benton, Wisconsin. Thank you, King Cuts by Anna. Thank you to Hoppiness on the Hill as well. If you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, please reach out in DMs at Worms Weigh In on Instagram, and we can work out something today. Thanks.